Okay. So one of the amazing things about Scripture, and I know that I talk about this every year, Simchat Torah, we have this amazing thing that's going on, that it can speak to us in different ways. All the Scriptures, not just the Torah, but all the Scriptures, they can speak to us in different ways, and God's Word can speak to us even though we're different people, we have different backgrounds, we have different situations in our lives, we have all these things around us that are different. But even because of the diversity, the Scriptures can speak to each and every one of us as individuals. We may all be reading the same words, but we can have God speak to each and every one of us on different levels, even though they're the same words. If we all took out the same one translation, whatever you may want to use, and read it, it can mean something different to you, and if you really pray about it, you can hear through the Ruach, through the Holy Spirit, you can hear God speaking to you. And he may speak to you about different things going on with that particular scripture. And it may be a different thing. If it's 100 people, God may speak to 100 people and say 100 different things to you, even though it's the same words there. And the great thing is, when he speaks to us, if we allow him to, he is speaking to our hearts. Not just that he's speaking so that we hear it. And this is sometimes people say, well, I never heard from God. I never heard from the Lord. And I don't know, sometimes people are expecting to hear the voice of God from heaven speak down to them. You know, that's how usually in the movies you hear it. But it doesn't mean it. And in most cases, God will speak what the word says. It's that small, still voice. It's speaking to our hearts, and it's not an actual voice, a verbal voice that we would hear necessarily on our ears, but we hear it in our hearts. We hear it, even though it's not actually spoken for others to hear it. And so people need to sometimes realize that. One of the reasons for this, that God's Word can do this, is it is a dynamic book. Actually, and sometimes when I use the word, people out there get the wrong impression, it is a supernatural book. Amen. The Bible is a supernatural book. That it can speak to us. Even though we're all reading the same words, but it can speak to us in different situations. And as I say it on Simchat Torah, it may speak to me here now, and maybe 6 months from now, I will read the same words, and it will speak to me on a totally different level. And so, you know, we talk about this on how the Torah is like an onion, and we peel away layers of it like an onion, and we peel them away, and we peel them away, and we peel them away, and we can keep peeling them away and finding something new and fresh underneath. And this is the wonderful thing about God's Word. Otherwise, I would have ran out of messages 25 years ago. But it's a dynamic and supernatural book. Over 15 years ago, as we were preparing for our building project for this building, I spoke about, one of my messages was about increasing our tent and our tent pegs, strengthening our tent pegs and increasing our tent. And that, yes, it came from Isaiah 54, which is our Haftarah portion this week. And I base my message on those scriptures from Isaiah 54. And I spoke about expanding our tent And I connected it at that point because we were in the midst of just beginning a building project, collecting money for a building. We didn't know what the building was going to look like. We didn't even know where it was going to be. But we knew that God had put it on our hearts to prepare something on a bigger level. And so what happened was ultimately, and those of you that have been to the membership class know it because I talk about it. I take a few minutes to talk about how we started the ministry and where we are now. And so we were in a rental that started with 560 square feet. Your master bedroom might be a little smaller than that. And then we went to 3,200 square feet. And we thought, oh my goodness, 3,200 square feet, we have so much room, we could do anything we want. You know, that's because we were comparing it to the 560 square feet. And then eventually we built this building, and this building is 8,100 square feet. And so we went through this progression. And so I talked about this from Isaiah 54. But this scenario in Isaiah 54, it also calls to each and every one of us as individuals. It's not about building a physical building. But these words, and these were actually words, that, although many people talk about it, expanding a physical property or getting a new property, these words were originally spoken to Israel, and it was about them as individuals and them as a people. And so it is a call for us today. And so it's a call for us today, over 15 years later from that original message that I gave. Because increasing a physical tent does not necessarily mean to increase its square footage. And here's one example. I'm going to give a few examples here this morning, but this is one example. You can live, you can have a house at, say, 1,800 square feet. And you can make it more useful without even increasing one square foot of your house. By making it more useful on the inside. See? So, if you decide that you're only going to be in your house to sleep at night, you're using the house for 8 hours a day, and you're using it for a certain thing. Or you can decide, we're going to use our house, and we're going to eat our meals in it and sleep in it. So maybe you're upping your usage there to, 12 hours a day. Or you can decide, you know what, we're going to eat in it, and we're going to sleep in it, and we're going to read in there, we're going to talk, and we're going to have family time, and we're going to, in other words, and then what happens is you start using it on more hours. And maybe, if you go to work during the day and you go to work for 8 hours, so you take away eight out of the, 24 hours, so you're down to 16 hours. So you use your house 16 hours a day. You're using your house more than just sleeping in it every night. You are, in a sense, without increasing one square foot of your house, you are increasing your tent because you're utilizing it greater. It's just one example I give. The same size house, but more activity going on in it. So going back to our building here, we've had this discussion over the years, and we talk about this at the board meetings, and we talked about it in individuals, and we notice sometimes, we need more room, we need more parking space, we need more classroom space, we need more space, we need, and sometimes if we're having something special here, we could certainly use, more room in the sanctuary. So look, these are the things that we talk about and that we know, and just this is an example this morning. To increase our building, we could do a few things. We could sell the building and buy a bigger building. We would physically be increasing our building. Or what we could do is we could add more services. Not just have one service on Saturday morning. Or we could have a Friday night service and a Saturday morning service. When you do that, you double your parking, you double your classrooms, you double your sanctuary size, because you have two separate services, see? And before anybody gets crazy here, I'm only using it as an example. Don't start talking amongst yourselves, say, ooh, is the rabbi, are we going to start a Friday night service? No. The answer is N-O. Okay? I'm using it only as an example with a capital E here. An example. Okay? But I'm letting you see that you can, without physically increasing your space, you can increase it in its usage. Why do I talk about that? Because Isaiah wrote his entire book in a very difficult time of Israel's history. It was the diaspora. It was the exile. It was the Babylonian exile. Most of the Jews were taken out of the land and they were forced to live in Babylon. And so it was a difficult time for them. And much of his words as a prophet were to give Israel hope on a few different levels. But to give them hope, because they were losing a lot of hope. They wanted to be back by the rivers of Babylon, David sang, and we wept and we thought about Zion. They wanted to be back in their land, in their homeland. And so even though the situation seemed to be hopeless to them, God had this purpose and plan for them as a people. And so this is probably why so much of the book of Isaiah deals with the messianic hope, the Messiah himself, who he would be, where he comes from, what he's going to be called, how he's going to be born. We read so much, not just Isaiah 53, but we read so much all throughout Isaiah about all these little things about the messianic hope and the Messiah himself to come. And this is part of the plan and purpose that God had for his people, and this great picture of hope that he had for a people that were in despair. And that's really what the book of Isaiah is about. And so, in our parsha today, Isaiah 54 acknowledges this hopeless situation of God's people, but it announces this amazing hope for them as a people. Now, in the context of it, this is Isaiah 54. It's one chapter after Isaiah 53. Which is the greatest messianic chapter that we have in messianic Judaism. It talks about the Messiah. It talks about God coming and becoming the Messiah. And it talks about how he suffers and dies and what his ministry was and how he intercedes for us as sinners and he takes on our transgressions and intercedes to the Father. It's all in Isaiah 53, and so now in Isaiah 54, now he gets a little more personal with Israel as a people, as individual people, and as a nation, and gives them this wonderful hope that he has in Isaiah 54. Because our God is a God of vision and hope and redemption. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He was giving a vision and a hope and showing about redemption in Isaiah. That's how God is, and that's who God is. And he wants us to experience his vision, his hope, and his plan of redemption. He wants us to experience it as much as he wanted Israel to experience it thousands of years ago. And he wrote this book about 2,700 years ago. And so here is the situation and the hope that he starts laying out, and it's in our portion this morning we're reading, Isaiah 54, and it's verse 1, 2, and 3, and let's look at it. Diane, you were right. I should have used the font. It's a little easier to see where. I used it because it's the waters on the background, and here we're in Noah and the flood, and I thought it was going to be really neat. Let's use that. Okay, so I'm going to get real close. Okay. And so he opens up. Actually, and I believe it was a song. But here it is, and we'll read it. Sing, O barren, you who have not borne. Break forth into singing and cry aloud, you who have not labored with child. For more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married woman, says the Lord. This is a picture of despair here for a barren woman here, as how Israel is as symbolized as a barren woman. Enlarge the place of your tent and let them stretch out the curtains of your dwellings. Do not spare. Lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes, for you shall expand to the right and to the left, and your descendants will inherit the nations and make the desolate cities inhabit. You're going to inhabit those desolate cities. You're going to expand. This is the despair and the hope in three verses. You're desolate, you're barren, you're like a woman without a child. And yet I want you to do something and increase. I want you to prepare something that I'm going to do great for you. And this is what he's telling them. Israel, you may be fruitless. You may think of yourself as being fruitless and barren. And woe is me. I'm in this land and I'm not home and I can't do the things that I would love to do at home. You may feel like that barren woman. But I want you to sing and I want you to break forth in song. I want you to have joy. I want you to burst out in singing. But I know your position. But it's okay, because I want you to sing, because I'm going to do something great with you. And that's what he said. Amen. I have hope for you. I have great plans for you. And that's what he's telling Israel. When the promises of God come into your heart, hope can now take root. All of us, when the promises of God come into your heart, hope should take root. We need to understand that to the point where we allow, when it comes into our heart, to allow it to take root, because we can. I don't believe it. I don't think it was me. It was only me. I don't think. And people are telling me this and that. And I can't do it. And I don't know. I don't believe it. And I don't believe it. I don't have enough faith. And we don't allow it to take root. But when hope, when the promises of God come into your heart, it should, hope should take root. Each and every time. And when hope takes root, when it's established in your heart, there is no room for fear and for doubt and for bitterness and for grudges against people. There's no room if it's filled with God's hope and God's promises and it takes root. Almost imagine, like, if you can imagine, you know, did you ever take an avocado pit? You know, I think we all did this. And you put toothpicks in it, and you put it on top of a jar, and you fill the jar with water. You ever done that? To hopefully grow an avocado, and it never grows. But it does But it does. What does it do? Usually it grows roots. And the roots, if you let them grow, they will fill up that entire little jar. Right? You may never get one little stalk or leaves coming out of the top of that pit. A lot of times you will, but so many times you don't. But when you get those roots on the bottom, man, they start and swirling around and they fill up that little jar. And so if you will allow God's hope to take root in your heart, picture it like that. There's no room for grudges and bitterness and negativity because it's all filled up with the root in that jar. It's all filled up with the root of God's hope that has grown in your heart. And so, like that house I talked about earlier, and I gave a few examples of it, your physical heart remains the same. It remains the same size. But what happens in that heart, it expands and increases on a spiritual level. Your heart doesn't get bigger, and it's a good thing your heart doesn't get bigger, because if you go to the ER and they x-ray you or they do an MRI and they see you got an enlarged heart, they're going to get all, you know, they're going to think something's going on with it. They're sick, they're wrong. An enlarged heart you don't want. But you want, even though your heart is the same size spiritually, you want it to expand. Spiritually, you want it to increase. Spiritually, you want more to go on inside of that heart, just like the house. That you can't, that you're not going to add one square foot of that house. And so God calls us to expand the place of our tent. That's what God was calling Israel to do. It didn't necessarily mean, and they might have done it, they might have expanded their tents, but you realize it was a figurative thing here. Expand your tents. It just meant expand the vision, expand the plan. I'm expanding your plans, and I'm going to do something special with you. So basically, as God said to Israel, "Oh, you sorrowful people, have my vision. You are a sorrowful people, but I'm going to give you a vision." How often do I try to encourage people all throughout the year to establish deep roots and strong roots and healthy roots. I always talk about that with the roots. I talk about it. We need to establish deep roots because it's the roots that get the nourishment from roots get from plants, get the nourishment. They it helps them to get a lot of water from the ground, and this is how they grow. And so spiritually, I always encourage people, let's establish deep roots. And how do you do that? You do that by doing the things of the Lord. You do that by trying to do things in your life on a daily basis. It's not just a matter of, I believe in Yeshua and I know that I'm saved and now I'm just going to get on with my life. That doesn't establish roots. That keeps people in an immaturity level. I encourage people, establish deep roots, strong roots, and healthy roots. Well, to have an increase in your tent, we need larger and stronger pegs. Because if you have a certain size tent, you can get along with certain size tent stakes and tent pegs. But if you have a large tent, you need stronger and longer tent pegs because the tent is heavier and it's bigger and it's more susceptible to being catching up the wind and blowing around. So God said, don't just increase the size of your tent, but increase the tent pegs. Make them stronger, make them longer, because one goes with the other. You can't increase your tent without still having little tent pegs like that. So the question is, and I put up a little slide, it's one of my homemade slides. One slide, here's my question. Which of those is bigger, a balloon or a bottle of water? Physically, which is bigger? They're, maybe that bottle's a little bit bigger, right, than the balloon?
The only thing is you blow up the balloon.
You know, Al,
yeah.
Give us our next slide. Which of those hold more water? It's all right, Al didn't say anything about water. So I could talk about the... But you were right, Al. How much... The balloon holds a lot more water than the bottle. Why? Because the bottle is made out of rigid plastic, and the balloon is made out of rubber that can expand and expand and increase. And so a balloon, you can fill it much more... Whatever you fill that bottle with, that's what you, if it's an 8-ounce bottle, it's an 8-ounce, and that's all you're going to put it in is 8 ounces of water. That balloon, it needs to expand, and that balloon needs to be stretched on a physical level. But the bottle is restricted. And so, with us, as I say this so often, it's not your age. I'm too young, I'm too old. It's not the talents you have. I only had a high school education. Or, I don't have a lot of talents. I don't have a lot of abilities. It's about your abilities as a person to stretch and to bend. Not on a physical level, not taking yoga classes, Pilates, but it's physical yoga and physical Pilates. It's being able to bend and stretch and expand and grow and change. That's what it's about. Just like on a physical level, this is what the balloon can do. And a lot of that has to do with your commitment. And so, we have two different materials, and they're going to tell us what you can put on the inside. That barren woman that we read about a few minutes ago, she had no need to get a larger tent. Israel, they really didn't need a larger tent physically. But God was very concerned what was being put in that tent and responding to what was done in that tent. But God tells us about this. I got one more. And when we go by, you know, we have one more verse. And I'm getting up close again. In Ezekiel, way back in Ezekiel, this is what God said. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone, and I will give you a heart of flesh. Okay, so for my examples, let's substitute a few things here, and then maybe it makes a lot more sense of what we've been talking about. I will remove in you your heart of plastic, and I will give you a heart of rubber. Because our hearts are rigid, and we can only fit a certain amount in that heart. But God says, on a spiritual level, and you know, He's not, He's not taking, we don't have hearts that are made of stone. If we take our heart out and they drop it, it goes boom, you know, and it weighs, you know, 20 pounds. It's not a heart of stone. But he's saying we have spiritually hearts of stone. And he's going to do something by putting his spirit in us. He's going to give us a heart that can expand like the balloon. And it can fit all kinds of good stuff in it. And why can it happen? Is because he is putting his spirit in us. And that's what's allowing our hearts to be changed. He has already given us that spirit, people, most of us. We have that new expandable heart. All we have to do is work with the Lord a little bit and fill it a little bit more and let him fill it and let him fill it and let him fill it and change our attitudes and do these things. We can do that because we already have his spirit in us, most of us. We already have a heart that can expand like the balloon. And so this morning, it's as we all hear these words, and as I wrote this message, you know, it's like, it's a wonderful opportunity to realize what we do with our heart makes all the difference. What we love makes all the difference. What we don't love makes all the difference. Who we love makes all the difference. Who we don't. Who we want to live for and who we don't want to live for makes all the difference. But he has already changed us. He's waiting for us to fill it, to expand our tents, so to speak, and to make those stakes nice and strong and long. He's given us the materials to do it, the spiritual materials. He's given us the way to do it. He has put that change in our lives, and he's just waiting for us to do it. And we, all of us, are capable of doing it on a daily basis. So this is about, last week I mentioned that title, and I had a couple of people mention me after. So here's the title this morning. The title is, and I think this is what I said up there, it's tents, balloons, and hearts. That's what it's all about, everybody. Shabbat shalom.